and they...
Buyer, beware.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us as we continue coverage of the fallout from the financial crisis. Investors buying on Wall Street or in Europe or in Asia are becoming more and more a select group. It seems those dumping shares are the rule and not the exception, at least today. Now, that's the really sad music. Another triple-digit downer for the Dow. Blue chips have shed more than 2.5%. Actually, 2.75% right now, perhaps mimicking what happened in Asia and Europe overnight. The Dow quivers at 88.84, down 255 points so far. NASDAQ has lost another 2.5%, and the S&P stocks are down by 3% this morning. In Asia, the Nikkei and Hang Seng plummeted between 6 and 7%. European shares fell between 4 and 6%. American car companies won't readily admit it, but a crisis looms for an industry that's about to get really tight on cash. Today, Mr. Carmaker goes to Washington to speak with the speaker herself, Nancy Pelosi, and they're looking for help in the form of cash. Marketplace's Steve Henn is in Washington.
Put simply, GM, Ford, and Chrysler are running out of money, and unless something changes soon, they won't have enough cash left to operate their businesses.
The actual time frame would vary by company.
Robert Schultz is at Standard & Poor's.
Ford does have a large unused revolving credit facility. General Motors and Chrysler really have the cash that they have now, and that is being diminished. So, you know, they're on a shorter, much shorter time frame.
Today, the industry's CEOs are headed to Capitol Hill to beg for help. They'll ask House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for two things. One, pressure the Bush administration to make cash available to the automakers immediately, either by using some of the $700 billion banking bailout or through a bridge loan from the Federal Reserve. And two, they want Congress to pass another $25 billion package of low-interest loans to help finance the industry's long-term health benefits. Without both of these steps, industry insiders say two of the big three automakers may not survive. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Sobering news, and obviously with the troubles in the automotive sector, a lot of manufacturing jobs have been going away, and there's more gloom from employment circles. Long-term jobless claims have jumped to their highest level in 25 years. There's a big employment report that's coming out tomorrow, so that should give us a little more perspective. Growth is good when it comes to productivity, but even those numbers are anemic. Non-farm business productivity grew at the slowest pace this year during the third quarter. You might have heard that Google's ad partnership with rival Yahoo is off for now. The Search King isn't up for a hassle with regulators over antitrust issues. You know who's happy to see the deal on ice? Consumer advocates. Here's Janet Babin from North Carolina Public Radio.
The deal would have let Google sell search ads on Yahoo's website. Together, the internet giants would have controlled more than 80% of the search market. Federal regulators said they would file suit to block the alliance over fears that less competition would make online advertising more expensive. But consumer advocates didn't like the deal for another reason. They say industry consolidation gives companies like Google a monopoly over our personal data. Jeff Chester is with the Center for Digital Democracy.
There are significant privacy risks because there are fewer and fewer companies controlling greater and greater amounts of information about ourselves that are dominating this landscape.
Advocates want the Obama administration to increase consumer safeguards that would protect online privacy. They also want regulators to strengthen antitrust laws for online companies. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
By now you probably know that one of the culprits in this financial mess was a security called the credit default swap, basically insurance that banks took out to guard against risky investments. Part of the problem is the mysterious place they trade, the over-the-counter market. But what is the over-the-counter market exactly? We asked Rico Galliano to explain in the latest installment of The Marketplace Decoder.
Okay, to truly understand this thing, we got to take you back to the 1700s. And by we, I mean Mike Hatley, president of Westgate Horizons Advisors.
The New York Stock Exchange started in the 1700s. Before that, stocks actually traded in the general store.
A general store was like a retail outlet for stocks, and there were a bunch of general stores all over the Big Apple.
You would go to the merchant at the store if you wanted to trade a stock, and you would trade the stock literally over the counter.
Now, you know from going, say, shoe shopping, that it's tough to check out every shoe joint in town to find the best deal on that limited edition pair of Pumas. Same went for stocks. Different general stores might sell the same stock at different prices.
A number of people decided, including Alexander Hamilton, that it would be really a good idea if there was a central place to do all the stock trading, and they formed the predecessor of the New York Stock Exchange.
But even today, not every stock sells on the NYSE. Some don't sell on any exchange. Those stocks and many other financial products that aren't sold on exchanges still trade OTC, over-the-counter.
Over-the-counter trading is trading that's done in an unregulated market.
Jeff Carter is an independent speculator and a former director of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He says unregulated is the operative word here. On a regulated exchange, traders can only work with shares listed on the exchange. OTC traders can sell anything they want, from penny stocks to complex credit default swaps. There's no middleman and few rules. Kind of like the old general store writ large. And it's not for everyone.
The average Joe on the street is not equipped to do over-the-counter trading, and they're also not probably big enough. These are big, big transactions. It's a professional market.
But recently, professionals have lost big in the OTC market, thanks to the unexpected collapse of big players like Lehman Brothers. So Carter says there are moves afoot to build in some safeguards. For instance, by creating so-called clearinghouses, which ensure traders can actually afford to make deals. And he says the government may consider some oversight, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And in L.A., I'm Steve Chiotakis. Good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.